you. Morning.
Morning.
Welcome to this service. There are one or two notices we need to look at. If you look at your notice sheets, Graham's notice about hoping to host a weekday support for dementia sufferers in the sanctuary. He needs some volunteers who would just do coffee and say hello. Pancakes in the sanctuary on Tuesday, the 21st of February at 6 p.m. The quiz and fizz on Saturday in the Village Hall, 18th of March. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Parish newsletter deliveries. Christine and Roger thank those who volunteered with the Chase and the Glade. Unfortunately, we have no offers for Church Road from New Road to the parish rooms.
We have now.
Thank you very much. Warren Can Trust is hiring, looking for a replacement for their fantastic volunteer coordinator, Alice. Thirsty Thursday on the, I think it's, well, it's Thursday, is it the second? Anyway, it's Thursday at 8 p.m. in the Red Lion for the gentlemen of the parish. Very much. Choral Evensong. Following the success of last time's Choral Evensong, another one is planted for the 7th of March at Holy Trinity. Okay, I think that's more or less. Find that on the notice sheet. Gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Spirit through our life together as church. We pray that we may hear your voice in this time of interregnum. Grant us patience, grant us wisdom, grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be a more Christ-like church, a church that is contemplative, compassionate, and courageous. Because we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we take up our sheets. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. And our first hymn, Love Divine or Love's Excelling, number 377. Come to our confession. Please be seated. Are we perfect? No, we are not perfect, are we? We need forgiveness. So we must ask for it and receive it. Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive you, Christ in you, and the Spirit enable you to bear in love. Before God, with the kingdom of God, we confess our brokenness, to the ways we wander in our hearts, the lives of us, and the life of the world.
So may God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. We can breathe a sigh of relief. We are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? The collect for today. God, our Creator, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may be to dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief. Shine into the hearts of all your people and reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Now we come for the readings.
The New Testament reading is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go at once to Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This is the word of God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.' Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. And now our next hymn is, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. Number 892.
Thank you.
Please be seated. A reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone who brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Most weddings taken in the Church of England have a reference to the wedding at Cana. We don't know much about the wedding. We don't know the names of the bride and the groom. It was their big day, or rather their big week, as Jewish custom at that time called for a feast that lasted 6 days. So Jesus was going to this wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. The Gospel says he was there with his mother. It also indicates that Jesus' disciples were there. So we can conclude that while Jesus had begun calling his disciples, he was still living near his mother. The essence of this story is made apparent in the third sentence. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine." The bride and the groom ran out of wine for their guests. Nothing worse could happen. It was expected that the food and the wine would flow continuously during this week-long party. Imagine being the young couple who would be remembered as the ones at whose wedding the wine ran out. Somehow, Mary gets to know. Perhaps you notice the anxious steward, or perhaps you notice some guests who are getting a bit upset. She gets some from her seat and casually walks over to where Jesus was sitting with his disciples, and she says to him, "They have no wine." Meaning, "Son, this is serious. Do something." Let's pause for a moment, because there might be a message hidden in this gospel lesson that we're likely to miss. It's a message for us to be able to smile, to be able to find humour in the Bible. Sometimes it's okay to laugh, or at least to smile, just a little bit. Perhaps this is one of these times. I'm not trying to make light of this gospel message, but we need to view it through the eyes of Jesus's humanity, particularly with regard to Jesus's relationship with his mother. Because this moment is a priceless moment. It's a classic moment, the kind that often occurs between mother and her adult son. Picture the situation. Here's Jesus sitting with his new disciples. They're eating good food, drinking some wine, laughing, getting to know each other better, having a really good time. Mary's been off with her friends, eating and laughing and having a nice time too, when somehow she realized the party has just run out of wine. So what does she do? She gets up, tells the wine steward to follow her. She walks herself over to her son. She taps him on the shoulder and says, "They have no wine." Now, if we are mothers who have adult sons, or are adult sons, let's try to visualize this moment. Think of the facial expressions and reactions that we are familiar with. Let's picture this interaction thinking of our own experiences. Mary doesn't say, "They have no wine, is there anything you can do?" She just says, "They have no wine." And she stands there staring at Jesus. You can almost hear the implied, "Get up out of that chair and do something." She doesn't just think Jesus might be able to do something. She absolutely, unquestionably knows he will do something. That's faith. That's faith. But it's also just a little funny when you put it in the context of mother and adult son. And how does Jesus respond? Well, it sounds more like just a little rude, doesn't it? But here again, remember, this is mother and adult son. Jesus responds, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, from my own experiences with my own mother, the look that Mary most likely gave Jesus at the moment probably would have curled his hair or singed it off. Doesn't matter how old you are, as a son, one does not dismiss one's mother with that kind of statement. There's also that inconvenient little commandment, honour your father and your mother. Jesus probably knew without doubt at that moment that he'd better do something and do it quickly, if he knew what was good for him. Such is the power of a mother throughout one's life. So Mary does what a good mother would have done. After giving him the look, she just puts him on the spot in a way that he can't get out of. She turns to the servants and says, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Then, with another meaningful look at her son, she goes back to enjoying the party with her friends. And once we've understood the humour, we can look back and get a better appreciation of the enormity of what's just happened here. Think about what Mary has just done. She's just kick-started Jesus's ministry, a ministry that will lead to our salvation. It seems that Jesus was hesitating. God the Father had sent him into the world on a world-saving mission, but he didn't yet feel the time had come to reveal himself. But his mother knew. She knew that the time had come. She was pushing him into a place that he was still hesitating to go. He didn't feel ready, but she knew he was. Mothers always know. Just as any mother knows her son, Mary knew Jesus. She didn't argue with him. She didn't cajole. She just said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." So the moment came. Jesus began his ministry with a sign. A sign that may seem a bit innocuous in the grand scheme of things. A sign that may be trivial compared with other signs he gave. He didn't think he was ready yet, but his mother knew he was. He saw 6 huge stones of water designed for holding water that would be used for the rites of purification, for cleansing. So being the good son and not wanting to get on with the bad side of his mother, he tells his servants to fill the jars with water. And these men, who were probably also having a few sniggers at that point, take the huge jars, fill them to the brim with water. Then Jesus says, "Now draw some out and take it to the ruler of the feast." That's it. That's all he does. No prayers, no waving of hands, just take it to the chief steward. So the servants do. The chief steward chases the wine and says, "Golly, most people serve the good wine first and then that which is worse. You've kept the good wine until now." The author of this gospel finishes the story by saying, "This is the beginning of his signs Jesus did in the Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him." But there's much more to this story. The writer needed us to understand, and I think he did intentionally with some humour, he needed to provide us with a starting point that showed Jesus as being at the same time fully human and fully divine. Sometimes it's a bit more difficult to sort out the fully human when we view Jesus' ministry. But here at the very beginning, it's there apparent. And that's important for us because we need to understand that being fully human, God as human, Jesus knows who we are, how we feel, and how we react. He knows what it's like to be us. That's important for us to understand, because when we see Jesus as being fully human and fully divine, then we begin to understand better what his sacrifice means for us. Because as fully divine as God, he has the power to save us from our sins. But as fully human, he knows exactly what it meant to suffer for us and to save us. And that's the greatest gift we could ever receive. Amen.
Amen.
Now we come to our next hymn, 514. Such love, pure as the whitest snow.
Such love, pure as the whitest snow.
Please be seated, and Jean will come and pray for us.
Let us pray. To our God of miracles, we thank you for the wonderful gift of marriage, and especially good marriages. At Cana, you showed the abundance of your grace through our Saviour Jesus Christ by turning water into wine. May your grace overflow into our daily lives by giving us what we need rather than what we want. As the servants were doing, help us to be obedient to your commands with faith and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, you gave the church to stand at the heart of human communities, to be the hub of spiritual and social activity, committed to the flourishing of every neighbourhood. May our churches be a blessing to the communities around them, identifying their needs and talents, harnessing their energies and celebrating their successes. As our own two churches support homeless projects, charities, children's groups, a possible dementia group, food banks and art and craft groups, may the love of Christ be seen, shaped by the Spirit, to the glory of the Father. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, children in our culture are under tremendous pressure to conform and succeed, to be attractive, popular, and cool. They have to grow up fast and be wise too young. Give them courage to resist these pressures and to find their own path in their own time. Give them families, friends, and role models who will build up their confidence of self-belief. And whenever possible, give them faith in Jesus to be their rock, their guide and inspiration. May your church also be a good home for all children, joyful, playful, wise and safe. Redouble our efforts to adapt to the ways of your kingdom, for Jesus said, unless we accept the kingdom like a child, we won't be able to enter it. May the church be a community of grace for all humanity, with a little child at the door. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, all of us carry a number of suffering people in our hearts, and as a church, we carry many more. As we pray for them now, we reach out to them in love, knowing you will use our love for their benefit. These then are the people from our pew sheet we bring to you: David and Pam Ellingham, Jean Stables, John and Angela Watts, Roger Strachan, Amanda Ricketts, and young Caden. And now in silent prayer, we bring before you those we know personally who need our prayers at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, and he did. Here is a prayer that our dear Jesus taught them. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jean. Now let us stand and declare our faith in God. O We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And our offertory hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. 513. Standing, we face each other over the aisle and say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. And the blessing, generous Lord, in word and prayer, you proclaim the mystery of your love. Help us so to live out all our days that we may be signs of your wonders in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.